Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morena, Troy, how are you?
I'm fine, how are you?
I'm all right.
You're not Rachel.
I'm not Rachel, no. Sorry about that.
How can you tell?
I put my glasses on and
good
then
job.
I realised.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's been a long time.
It has.
It has, that's right.
I don't know how long, though. 4 weeks, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Weeks,
but who's
I
counting?
I was. Let's hit this first one. Okay, and in those 4 weeks, in fact, 2 weeks ago, this one came out.
Oh, nice cover. Ooh la la.
Sarah, got anything to say about this?
I love this album. It's great.
It is, of course, Source by Nubia Garcia. What is the source where she's referring to? I think it's the source of who Nubia is musically. You'll hear through the album. It's is it specifically London now? Yes, it is, except for the two tracks that were recorded in Colombia.
In Colombia?
Yep. There's her parentage was... Where's her mum from? Guyana, that's right. But her dad is from Trinidad. So we have, the bottom line being the Afro-Caribbean identity in London 21st century. But who's on the record? Well, actually, if you counted the records Nubia had played on over the last 2 years since that We Out Here, there's a mammoth amount.
Yeah, I feel like it just...
That whole crew, just so much output and all of a really stunning calibre.
Yeah, and a lot of those people appear here. We've got the rhythm section in this, Joe Armin Jones on piano and organ in some tunes, maybe even this one. Drums and bass are Sam Jones and Dan Casimir. Isn't Sam Jones amazing, particularly on this one? But you'll also find on the record Sheila Morris-Gray turns up, Cassie Kinoshi turns up.
A lot of excellent features.
But listen to her tone. Nubia's tone is amazing, and I've been trying to figure out what is it closest to. That kind of tone, is it close to Dexter Gordon? Is it close to what?
You'd be far better pressed than Tess and I to make that call, Troy.
See, because weirdly enough, some of her melodic approach sounds a bit Joe Henderson. But I wonder whether I'm just making comparisons to make comparisons. Are these the things that have informed Nubia? Who knows?
I feel like it's, my jazz knowledge is not strong, but I feel like it's quite cheerful jazz. Not that jazz is ever really not cheerful, but...
It's super accessible, if that's not an insult. The whole album is,
I don't see how accessible would be an insult. You want music to be accessible, surely.
I think certain jazz boffins like things to be a little bit inaccessible sometimes.
Yes, but they're probably prickly people.
Yes, good. I'm glad we agree.
But it's quite like I could see myself in the park in the sunshine listening to this, you know? I feel like it matches sunshine.
I think you're right. It is really... In fact, I think from the whole London... That breadth of the London modern jazz scene, whatever it's called, I don't think there's anything but positivity has come out of it. You know, I think resistance is positivity. I think criticism is positivity, but there's nothing that's... there's no wallowing.
No.
And I think this is an amazing 2LP set. And as you already pointed out, Tess, the cover is great.
It's beautiful, yeah.
This is one of the faster, brighter tracks on the album, right? There's lots of different kind of phases. Yeah. There's cumbia influence tracks, slower tracks, vocal tracks.
There's dub reggae influence stuff on here. There's sort of two-steppy rhythms. There's all kinds of stuff, yeah. But is this one one of the more up-tempo ones? Yeah, but not one of the more upbeat ones. I think it's all kind of upbeat in the way it feels. So, Source by Nubia. We've got some left.
Did they fly out?
Yeah, of course they did.
Wow. People
have been really waiting for this one. And a lot of people that I was surprised. A lot of our customers who don't buy anything like this have been have heard this and are waiting for it. So that's great. Now, shall we move to something a little bit less... well, the next tune we're going to hear is slightly not so upbeat. But this record, it's the fourth record since they reformed. Idris Akamore and the Pyramids. Shaman is the name of the album. Now, Idris Akamore and the Pyramids started out way in the underground. They were they met while being taught at Antioch College in Ohio by Cecil Taylor. So Cecil Taylor was running a music class there. He put together something called the Cecil Taylor Black Music Ensemble, of which this man, Bruce Baker, who's now known as Idris Akamore, or he's known as both, actually.
Right.
Was part of it, and on this record, Dr. Margot Simmons, I'm assuming she was just Margot Simmons back then, they were both part of this early Idris Akamore and the Pyramids. They did weird things, like they moved to Africa for a while. You didn't really do that in the early 70s. They did that, they brought that back, disappeared for decades. Idris Akamore kept doing stuff, but like way below the radar. And then...
So how old is this gent?
70.
Wow.
This year he's 70.
I would not have guessed that.
No. So this is basically a group with a 50-year vintage. He changes his lineups all the time. He's that was his voice you could hear that I was talking over. Apologies. this is him on the tenor. The flute you can hear in the background, that's Dr. Simmons. There's violin in here.
Yeah, see, when I listened to this for the first time, I assumed, yes, it's influenced by these things that did exist in the 70s, but I assumed this was a younger band, like Nubia Garcia and
You would
et
think.
Al.
Yeah. And you would have thought the same about the last record, An Angel Fell, which was more of a sort of a concept narrative thing than this one. Although, all of this is about the same kind of Afrofuturism, I would say. Like, this for the last 10 years, the four records I've done, it's been Otherness, We Be All Africans, An Angel Fell, and this one, Shaman. The artwork on this, the great Tokyo Oyama, who you've seen doing the last two Mark Clivelow covers, for example.
Right. It's a beautiful cover as well.
It's amazing. I love it.
Mm.
So what you have here is four sides, and of the four sides, they're broken into four acts. Act one, Fire Rites of Penance, okay? Act two, A Glimpse of Eternity. This is part of A Glimpse of Eternity, and what this one is about when will I see you again? It's about black lives being removed, taken away. Act three, Upon Whose Shoulders We Stand, salvation theme for Cecil, as in Cecil Taylor, who died last year, who we just mentioned. Act four, 400 Years, the Clotilda. Clotilda, in case you didn't know, was the last ever slave ship, 1860. 1860, that's not very long ago. But, so that's, but this is a fine, uplifting, soulful record. Maybe not this tune in particular, but...
It's got a great bass line.
Yeah, I still think it's got... like, it doesn't feel... It's not bringing me down,
As bullets spray, shots of a gun. Laughing and smiles, no more fun. Freak storm comes, freak storm comes. You better hide, you better run. Young and old die before their time. Smiles turn to grief. We all do fine.
No, I don't think any of us could pull off the amazing headdress on the cover of Shaman.
Probably not, eh? Idris Akamore and the Pyramid. Shaman is the name of their fourth album of the 21st century, but I think maybe their seventh or eighth album overall. It's on Strut.
Which is K7?
It's K7 label, so it's out of Germany, which kind of makes sense. Don't you think?
Yeah.
Prophets are never hailed in their homeland. Is that what the words are?
Yep.
Yeah. So that's that. Now, when they were starting in the early 70s, also in the early 70s, there was a number of things that happened in rhythm and blues and soul music. And a lot of people who in the 60s had done upbeat singles type things, were moving into a slightly different way of approaching things. Obviously, things like What's Going On, obviously things like There's a Riot Going On, but less obviously, at the Philadelphia International Records, the Gamble and Huff sound, what became the smooth Philly soul disco sound, was not always as surface as some things may appear. You might think a tune by the OJs like Love Train is fairly surface.
Mm.
Maybe. But since when is a call for unity thin thing to ask for? I don't know. But in the early 70s, there was also a kind of paranoia creeping into everything. And while the tune we're going to hear from the OJs is about a type of paranoia, I think it's sort of allegorical, isn't it? It's being used as kind of an allegory of you coming into my house and taking something. It's
also just a massive, massive tune.
Beyond massive. Should we hear Backstabbers?
It's so big.
So there we go. That's Mr. Huff on the piano, isn't
Oof.
It?
Hot pink suits that they're wearing on the cover of this is
tremendous.
Very, very sassy.
Also famously sampled by Angie Stone for, God, what's it called? When Will I See You Again or something? But yeah, that piano.
So the MFSB were kind of the backing group on this, weren't they? And no matter how many times they said no, it stands for mother, father, sister, brother.
Yeah.
I think we know what it means. So while we're playing this, well, this is a compilation entitled Philly Chartbusters, The Best of the OJs. 2 LP set.
Mint.
What do you think, Sarah?
I love it.
I feel like this is
And I'm
one.
So glad you picked this song as well. It's such a massive, massive song.
This is definitely one that you'd want in your collection.
Oh, yeah. So this basically covers, well, when they were on PIR, so that's from about here, 1972, up to about 83, maybe?
What they do.
But did you know that these three were part of a vocal group going back to the late 1950s?
No.
Yep. They were on. They put out records under different names on King Records, on King. The King Records one is the only one I know. But there was a few other labels, like going right up to 69. They were still putting out sort of hot R&B tunes, but I think they changed when it came to this.
Just incredibly match fit musicians. What they do is smile in your face. All the time they want to take your place. The backstabbers. Backstabbers.
You know why they were called the OJs?
No.
This is weird. They named themselves after a DJ.
Oh, really?
Okay.
Mr. OJ, yeah.
Did they really respect and like that DJ?
I have a feeling he may have been managing them at the time or something. Perhaps he came up with the name. Call yourself.
Right. You are my group.
See, I haven't opened this, so I know what colour I'm expecting the vinyl to be, but it's probably black vinyl. But I don't know. But look at this amazing pink cover on the Philly Chartbusters.
Those are
OJ.
Some amazing, we call them three-piece suits, right? When you've got the fitted waistcoat in fuchsia pink.
Well, I don't know. Is it a three-piece suit if you're not wearing the jacket?
I don't know. Maybe just hang that on the wall for later.
Four-piece if you've got matching shoes?
No, I don't know. But yeah, their shoes are pink as well.
Are they pink shoes?
Mm. Yeah, look.
Pink leather boots.
Excellent.
So all of these things, actually the OJ's isn't on the shelf at Southbound just yet. We will rectify that today.
Nice.
So that'll be on the shelf. We've got the Idris Akamore and the Pyramids there. We've got the new Bayer Garcia sauce there. I wouldn't hang back on the new wire if you were interested, because it's not going to last, I'm sorry.
So what's the browsing situation at Southbound like at the moment, under level 2.5?
Well, we're letting only a few people in at a time. Luckily, we're not the sort of shop where we're flooded by 30 people at once on a regular basis.
Only when you have sales.
But we do ask people, please wear masks in the shop.
Yep.
I mean, apart from the fact it makes you look better. yeah, wear masks. We've got hand sanitizer. Just like be cool about things. Don't be a dick. It's really simple. And I think everyone knows that, don't they?
Words to live by. Thank you so much for bringing those three amazing albums in. Don't be a dick. Thanks, Troy.
Thanks.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.